Trinity Sunday. I'm honored you've come here today to hear about the Trinity. A little story to start. I've got a few, actually, little stories about the Trinity. There's a story about Peggy and the Trinity. Remember that one, Peggy? When I was going through the ordination process and interviewed to be a postulant, that's before seminary, I was being interviewed by the Commission on Ministry was the only thing. We weren't divided into Committee on Priesthood at the time and Diaconate. And I was in my interview and I was asked by Peggy, I think, who do you pray to? And I said, God and Jesus. And she looked at me intensely and said, but who do you pray to? God and Jesus. And about this time, the priest who was with me was like, I think we've answered that. But I think you're getting at, it's the Trinity. When we pray to Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're praying to God, Trinity. On this Trinity Sunday, we're invited to consider the nature of God. We're invited to consider how our understanding of God as Trinity, what is the grace? What is the grace in that? What is the grace in the Trinity provided for our call to be the church, the people of God in our time? Rather than focusing on the Trinity as doctrine today, I want to consider the Trinity in action. God in action with us. God in action for us, God in action sending us, which of course will imply things about the doctrine. St. Patrick's breastplate is a prayer so powerful that for him it was like armor. In the vein of Ephesians 6, where we read about putting on the whole armor of God, armor needed not against even people, blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. Maybe you've dealt with some of those cosmic powers in your life. Patrick put on this prayer and turned to the Trinity to withstand the powers of his time, his present darkness. So beautiful and powerful, this prayer has survived the years, and we sang a hymn today inspired by it. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, the three in one and one in three. The invocation of the name of the Trinity was so powerful and transformative to Patrick that he had a sense of God all around him, upholding him and helping him. And as we will say in our prayers today, to God, be with us, within us, behind us, before us. God, the Holy Trinity, is with us. We are always supported and embraced. Within us, what does that mean? Strengthening our inner being. Again from Ephesians, that we might know the breadth and length and height and depth, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Behind us, God has our back, no matter what. Before us, God makes a path for us through every challenge and every wilderness. We may wish to use this prayer, and again, we're getting to these in our prayers, as a mantra this week. In quiet moments or in chaotic moments, moments of stress, to say in your heart to God, be with me, within me, behind me, before me. This is Trinity in action for us. We can experience the strength of Trinity in our prayers. We will conclude our prayers of the people today with this prayer. We bind ourselves, O God, today to the strong name of the Trinity, and we name you three in one, one in three, and claim our place in your community of love. Be with us, within us, behind us, before us. May we be your comfort. May we be your restoration. May we be your peace and wholeness in the world. The movement of our prayer is to receive and then be in the world in the spirit of Trinity. So another little story. When I first started preaching, and those of you who've preached ever, and maybe in the beginning of your preaching life, I was so worried about getting everything right. This tends to cause preachers to say a lot all the time. Right? I was so worried about getting everything right. And I remember one of the first times I preached on the Trinity. Afterwards, some elderly man came up to me and very fatherly said, "Good job. There wasn't any bit of heresy in that at all." And at the time I thought, oh, thank goodness. And now I think, too bad. So the fullness of God that we name as Trinity often, and we've been doing it a lot already today, we talk about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes here you will hear Creator, Christ, Holy Comforter. On this Father's Day, we cannot help but think about the ways and the times in the past and the present that God is named as Father, our Father in heaven. For some, this is a wonderful way to describe God, because our understanding of our earthly Father is one that supports us. For some, this is a wonderful way to understand God, because their earthly Father didn't support them, us, as we might have hoped, but then we get that sense from God that God's filling that role. So in that way, God, Father can be good also. But such has not been the case for all or everyone all the time, that thinking of God as Father is helpful. Believe it or not, I mean, for some that may seem really odd, but this is why we have what we call expansive language, and it's important that we have it. It fascinates me that some say that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the only way of speaking of God in Trinitarian language. It is certainly a way. The honored historic way. But it's a way that developed at a certain time, in a certain place, when such language was in fact the only way God was described, that people wanted to describe God. So, maybe this is a little heresy, but I don't think so. God our Father, God our Mother, Jesus is the Christ. And the Holy Spirit, well, she's been helping us over the years to see the goodness in opening up our understanding to honor the many ways that God is known among us. We're created in God's image. Just look around. Can we have one image for God? No way. Look at the diversity. We're all different, every one of us. And we reflect God. As we heard in our gospel reading today, Jesus had many things to tell his friends, but they could not hear them then. They could not bear them at the time, at that point in history. Therefore, Jesus says the Spirit of truth would come to them and guide them into all truth. And that is what we've seen again and again in history, in our history. It's a process. This gift of God's revelation is never done. We are always learning and growing in our knowledge and love of God. So, I bring all that up because all that can be kind of a stumbling block, I think, in grasping the beauty and the love of God, Trinity. So once we acknowledge that God comes to us in ways in the Bible and our tradition, but also in new ways. For many, that's helpful to be able to move into the second part of what this sermon is about, that we are for the Trinity in the world, for God, based on our belief that we are all, as I was saying, all created in God's image, in the image of the Trinity. Our understanding of God as Trinity can be a source of great strength for us once we move beyond that first step that might have been upsetting or hurtful to us in the past. Cynthia Bourgeau, in her book, The Wisdom of Jesus, Transforming Heart and Mind, and then there's more to this title, A New Perspective on Christ and His Message, she writes of Trinity in this way. The Trinity, understood in the wisdom sense, is really an icon of self-emptying love. The three persons go round and round like buckets on a watermill, constantly overspilling into one another. And as they do so, the mill turns. It turns, and the energy of love becomes manifest and accessible. God reveals God's own innermost nature through a continuous round dance. You can just see it. Picture it in your mind. Self-emptying. On this great watermill of the Trinity, the statement, God is love, brings itself into reality. Self-emptying. Giving. Right? Jesus on the cross. This is key to the Christian story. Cynthia Bourgeot goes on to give us great hope. The need that St. Patrick felt for the strength he found in the Trinity, she knows is a need that we all have. We all struggle to be God's people in our time. We need God. And what I love about what she says about the implications of the Trinitarian mystery for us, it is very hopeful. She says, we're called to live in this way of self-emptying love. But all too often our attempts at self-emptying feel isolated and pointless. Think of all the things you care about. Fighting racism, fighting hunger, standing up for our world, creation care, all the things. Sometimes, yeah, it feels good. We feel like we're making a difference. But for many, often it feels like it's isolated, it's not enough, maybe not pointless, but people can feel that way too. She goes on to say, no act of self-emptying is ever pointless or isolated. No matter how meaningless it looks, no matter how disconnected, no matter how unproductive in terms of reward and gain on the linear axis. So what she's doing here, she's raising us above what we can see, raising us to have that heavenly view, that mystical view of what's happening. An act of self-emptying love connects us instantly to the whole of God, allowing divine love to become manifest in some new and profound dimension through us. Did you know that's what you were doing every time you give love and energy to help someone? Did you know that's what's happening every time you fight for the dignity of every human being? When we connect with the energy of God, Trinity, that is generated by the relational quality of God, again, that self-emptying water wheel, we are filling ourselves. We are being filled. Our greatest desire then to meet the world's need, we are strengthened by the filling we receive and then we're able to give. And when we do, when you do, the act of loving in the pattern of Christ, that way of self-emptying, we are making a difference. We are one. We are one through whom divine love becomes manifest. We are the one. You are the one. Bourgeot says this desire is imprinted in our soul. The Trinitarian impulse is both the icon of divine reality within us. Isn't that neat? It's the icon within us. The Trinity imprinted in our soul. So it's what's happening with us, and it's the means by which that reality brings itself to fullness. I know it's very wordy. Sorry about that. It's very wordy today. It's hard to get into this, and I'm not even trying to do doctrine. Look at that. This Trinity, but what I'm trying to describe here, what she's describing, and you might want to read the book, this section, that this is Trinity in action. We can move beyond just trying to figure out how it all fits together in doctrine and see it in action, this self-emptying the turning wheel, generating energy, making a difference. Feel that water flowing into you, this giving and emptying and filling, and then you're able to move out and do the same. I'll close today with a prayer from one of my favorite new books, Eucharistic Prayers, by Abigail Kutcher and Sam, now I'm forgetting his name, Wells. I didn't write that down. All right. Let us pray. Make us, your church, a community across time and space that enjoys the gift of your life and imitates the wonder of your love until all come into your presence and gaze upon your glory. Let's start that again. Let's hear it again. Make us your church, a community across time and space that enjoys the gift of your life and imitates the wonder of your love until all come into your presence and gaze upon your glory, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Amen.